breath of heaven, and we will not exhaust his worthiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for the ages to come, he will show us his grace. The riches of his grace is what Ephesians said. For the ages to come, he'll show us just how gracious and good and wonderful and mighty and loving and powerful. And can I go on and on? Need I say more? I wish I could describe him to you. But then we shall behold it. And when we think we've seen it all, he'll unfold a little more. And he'll remind us, I moved here and I worked there and I did that. And when you didn't even recognize it, my power was moving. My spirit was undergirding. Oh, my grace was sufficient. Oh, praise. Praise be to the God of heaven who does all things well. Oh, hallelujah. He's worthy of praise today. I'm not waiting till I'm standing on gold to give him praise. I'll stand right here on this red carpet this morning and look at you, and I will remind you, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 I'm getting ready to go in the Word of God, but one more time. Will you lift your hands and just give him praise? Just give him praise this morning. From the bottom of your heart, just tell him, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you today. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for everything that you've done, and I didn't even realize it. Oh, praise be to God this morning, for he alone is worthy. Worthy. Ooh, hallelujah. There's a lot of people in this life who feel like they are worthy of things. There may be things that you've accomplished in this life. I've got a message, but I'm just going to stop right here for a minute. Oh, there may be things you've accomplished in this life, and you probably were worthy of some honor for it, because we give honor to whom honor is due, right? Oh, but when we think about God, we realize that there is not enough praise, there is not enough adoration, there's not enough obedience that could ever offset how worthy he is of our loving devotion. He is worthy of it. Oh, his glory is greater than we can imagine. His power is beyond our comprehension. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even think or ask him to do, according to the power that worketh in you. Now unto him be praise and glory and honor in the church throughout the world without end, is what Paul would say. Why is that? Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. I'm not worthy of your praise. There's not another person in this building worthy of your praise. But the God of heaven who's seated on high, he is worthy of your praise today. Let our minds wander in all those different directions. Yeah. I know how it goes. We come in here. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and admit to it or even nod your head. But how many people, if you were to be so honest in your heart, you come in here this morning and you said, I am determined to give God the praise that is due to his name. Yeah. I'm just asking the question. We got to answer that in our own hearts. I come in here today because I want to just return in a small way my thanks and my gratitude of what God has done in my life. He has been so good. He has moved in times before I ever asked him to move. Oh, he's given me peace that passes understanding. Oh, he has given me strength when I felt like I didn't have any left to go on. He's given me joy in the midst of sorrow. He's given me that oil of gladness in the times of mourning. And you know what? I think he's worthy of my honor today. I think he's worthy of me lifting my hands and giving him praise. You know what I was determined to preach on this morning? Distractions. Distractions. I sat right here in this office on Friday. I'll just tell you how it all came about. I sat right there in that office and I said, Lord, I'd had a conversation with somebody recently and they made that comment about distractions. And I've been thinking about that. I said, Lord, I feel like there are too many times that even me as a pastor and us as a congregation, we come in here and we are not really focused on what truly matters. I'm not here to tell you that it's not important for us to come to the house of God. It's not important for us to sit through the preaching. It's not important for us to enjoy each other's fellowship. But that is not what is supreme. That is not what is priority. The worship of God is priority. Hearing his voice through his word, that is priority. And how many times are we distracted by a thousand good things? Oh, when we forget the one ultimate thing, that God not only is worthy of our praise, but he's also worthy of our attention. Oh, there's a reason why we do our services the way that we do. It's not so I can get up here and look foolish in front of you. It's not just so I can have an hour-long slot to talk if I need it. That's not why we come in here. We come in here because we want to give God our attention. Luke chapter 10 tells the story of Mary and Martha. And there they are. Both of these ladies, I believe, loved the Lord. Both of these ladies had a heart for the Lord. I'm going to read it, but Luke chapter 10, the end of it there. Right after telling the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus goes in to the house of Martha. And what happens? There, Mary and Martha both sit at the feet of Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that Mary also sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha's sister, and she also sat at the feet of Jesus. She had been sitting at the feet of Jesus as well as Mary. They both sat at the feet of Jesus. They both were disciples of Jesus. They both loved him. They had both seen his power. They both knew and understood that he was the Son of God. Because in John chapter 11, Martha's going to testify to the fact that you are the Son of God, and if you had been here, my brother would have lived. They both believed the same thing. They had orthodox theology. They had a disciple's mentality. But somewhere sitting at the feet of Jesus, Martha got distracted by what was going on, had to be done in the kitchen. She had a meal to prepare. She wasn't just fixing for Jesus. She was probably fixing for at least 13 men. And if you've ever cooked a meal for 13 men, you know 13 grown men can eat. And there's probably more than that. Also, Mary and Martha and probably Lazarus and their families was over there. The house was full. She had a job to do in the kitchen. Oh, yeah, it's good to sit at the feet of Jesus, but I've got work to do. And she gets inside of there in the kitchen and she's trying to be a good host. She's trying to do everything that she knows to do in order to be right and functional in that society. And she's working for Jesus. Amen. She's working for Jesus. But yet, the harder she works, the more worked up she got. Because her mind was distracted. And we find eventually she busts out of the kitchen. And in the original language, the image isn't that she just comes out of the kitchen and asks a question. The image is that she come out and she was bothered. Oh, she was physically disturbed. Jesus says, you are disturbed. You are anxious about many things. This woman, it showed all over her face. And she comes out and she says, do you not even care, Jesus, that my sister is sitting here at your feet all day? And I've been in the kitchen working. And I'm trying to make sure that everybody gets fed. I'm trying to make sure everybody enjoys their time. I'm trying to make sure the house is in order. I'm trying to make sure ministry is being carried out. And you know what Jesus says? You are troubled by many things, Martha. Troubled by many things. But there is one thing that is needful. And Mary has it. She has sat here at my feet. You know what? Jesus wasn't saying it was bad to work for him. He wasn't saying that what Martha was doing in the kitchen was bad. But she had allowed what she was doing in the kitchen to get her mind off of who Jesus was and what he was desiring to do. You know what? Mary understood Martha. It's something that Martha did not yet understand. Before I ever go to work for Jesus, I've got to sit at his feet and I got to worship him. I got to hear what he has to say. I got to make sure that discipleship is taken care of first. I can't be distracted by a thousand other good things. Amen. And how many times do we come into the house of God and we've got our checklist of things that's got to be done in order for us to be here. And you know what? I've got to sing the song. I've got to pull out my hymn book. And when Sister Haley or whoever's leading singing, I've got to turn to just the right page. And I've got to make sure I'm getting the words right as they sing them. I'll try my best to sing it in the right key if I'm able to do whatever I can. And you know what? We forget the reason that we're here. We forget that the reason that we're here is not just so somebody can hear how good we can sing, not just so somebody can hear, see how much we are involved in the worship, but so that Jesus Christ can be glorified and honored by our presence. A thousand other good things. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I can get lost in doing ministry. Be so busy working for Jesus that I don't spend time with Jesus. I come into church, get so busy about understanding what the scripture has to say that we forget about the author. You don't think it's possible? I know it's possible. I'm not talking about a woman. Martha wasn't involved in sin. She wasn't involved in corruption. She wasn't involved in idolatry. She wasn't involved in prostitution. She was just a woman who loved Jesus, and she wanted by her actions to show him just how much she loved him. She had just the right intention, but the wrong method of carrying it out. And Jesus said, this is going to be something that will not be taken away from Mary, because she shows us the image of what undivided attention does. It sits down at the feet of Jesus and says, Lord, I will sit here until you speak to my heart. I will let you pour into me before I ever try to pour out to anybody else. Can I tell you something? Oh, you loved ones here in this pews, there are people that you come into contact with. They need you to pour into their lives. Oh God, give us the hands to work like Martha had, but give us the heart of Mary to worship like she worshiped, and say, before I'll ever pour into somebody else's life, before I'll ever declare something to somebody else, God, will you fill me up? Will you pour into me till I overflow? And he said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Before there can ever be an overflow, there has to be an inflow. I don't want us to just be giving of our last little bit all the time, scraping from the bottom of the barrel, oh, so that we can serve and we can work, and we're over there looking at other people and saying, well, you know, they just don't know what all I'm having to do. If they'd understand the load that I'm under, if they'd understand the situations in my life, if they would just come along beside of me and participate in the work, they might understand how hard doing ministry is. They might understand how hard it is to minister to the lives of others. I'm here to tell you, oh, it's not about understanding how hard we have to work in order to minister. It's about understanding how worthy he is for our obedience and our attention. Listen to me. I'm almost done. I preached this in miniature this morning. You know why it is? You know why it is? Because we're distracted. Good people who love Jesus, who want to make sure everybody knows just how much they love Jesus, get distracted. And we live in a world that offers us more distractions than it does clearly defined truth. We have 1,001 ways to waste our time on any one given day. 1,001 ways, oh, to spend our life and at the end of it have very little to show for it. Oh, but Jesus reminds Martha, and he also commends Mary, that she has found the one needful thing. Oh, it's not just about sitting around doing nothing. Worshippers are not people who are lazy. They are not people who are inept. They are not people who don't understand the world. They are people who understand that Jesus is the only answer, and that before I ever can tell anybody about Jesus, I've got to sit down at his feet and have him speak into my life. Oh, so here is the question I'm going to pose to you this morning. Are you occupied for Jesus, or are you occupied with Jesus? Are you occupied for him or with him? Because you can be occupied for him and not be occupied with him. Read this poem I found. Martha in the kitchen. Stand with me all over the building. Martha in the kitchen, serving with her hands, occupied for Jesus with her pots and pans, loving him yet fevered, burdened to the brim. Careful, troubled Martha, occupied for him. Mary on the footstool, eyes upon her Lord, occupied with Jesus, drinking in his word. This the one thing needful, all else strangely dim. Loving, resting Mary, occupied with him. So may we, like Mary, choose the better part, resting in his presence, hands and feet and heart, drinking in his wisdom, strengthened with his grace, waiting for the summons, eyes upon his face. When it comes, we're ready, spirit, will, and nerve, Mary's heart to worship and Martha's hands to serve. This the rightful order, as our lamps we trim, occupied with Jesus and then occupied for him. We got to be occupied with him before we can ever be occupied for him. How many want to participate in the Great Commission? Before we can ever participate in the Great Commission, we've got to participate in the communion that sent that commission to begin with. You know why those men were willing to share the gospel into the four corners of the earth? Why they were willing to go out and face even death is because they had spent enough time with Jesus. They had been occupied enough with him. So much so that when the elders looked upon them, you know what one of the testimonies was? That they are ignorant and unlearned men, meaning they had not been trained in the ways of knowledge and of the law. But they took this note that they had been with Jesus. You know what I want the world to see us as? I don't care if they see us as theologians. I don't care if they see us as the smartest people on the block. I don't care if they see us as the best stewards of finances or about the most wise individuals to come and get wisdom for life from. I want them to see us as people who have been spending enough time with Jesus. I don't understand how it is that person does what they do, but yet they still have joy. They still have excitement. They still look forward to the things of God. I'll tell you how it is. We've been spending time with Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I'm going to tell you, you know my general rule is, I come in here a lot of times, I preach very expositionally, but I felt it over there in that, on Friday afternoon, sitting right there in that office. I said, Lord, we have people in this room. They love you, but they are distracted. There are a lot of other things on their mind. Some of them are very good things. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about good things, but their mind is not focused where it has to be. So you know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to hit the spiritual reset, and we're going to say for just a little while this morning, God, oh, it's not even 12 o'clock. We got 20 minutes before 12 o'clock. You know what we're going to do? We're going to come around these altars. We're going to hit the spiritual reset and say, Lord, I'm going to sit here at your feet for a little bit. And will you speak to me? Will you talk to my heart? Will you remind me how lovely you are? Will you tell me how gracious you are again? Will you show me your mercy and your love and your unfailing grace to me? So this is my invitation. Can we find a place to pray this morning? Can we find a place to pray? We're not going to be propped up by anything else this morning. We're going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to say, I'm not got to have a certain song being sung. Not got to have this being done or that being done. My eyes are on Jesus this morning. Oh, my eyes are on Jesus. Martha was standing. Mary was kneeling. Martha was moving. Mary was listening. Martha was near him. Mary was focused on him. The world says, don't just sit there. Do something. Jesus said, if you're worried and troubled about many things, just don't do something. Come sit at my feet. Because you do not see his face clearly while you're rushing. You see his face while you're resting in his presence. You do not hear his voice clearly while you're striving. You can hear his voice clearly when you're sitting before him. Oh, thank you. Lord, we don't want to just be occupied for you. We want to be occupied with you. We want to be occupied with you, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we can welcome Jesus into our lives. We can serve him with sincerity. We can work diligently in his name and still lose the sweetness of your presence, Lord. But restore to us the joy that comes with knowing you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.